The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town, like a cancer that's silently spreading. There's an unspoken fear, we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back. Lord knows they'll try to silence our voices. They'll pretend to be patriots fighting for fairness for all, but they're not even fit to hold office. What they believe doesn't fit with freedom at all. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C., before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, and ransom
taking America back. There are times that I've questioned, take it back from whom? The socialists, the fascists. Now we've got the anti-fascists, which aren't anti-fascist at all. Welcome back to the second hour, the National Intel Report. Usually this hour on Tuesday and Thursday, it's openly referred to as protecting your wealth. And we're talking a lot about economic issues today, economic concerns. Bitcoin. No, I told you we'd return to it. This one starts to become a little more disconcerting. For those of you who've been with me for this last 6 weeks or so, one of the things about Bitcoin that has begun to bother me is more and more I am convinced that this is a folly of the central banking system throughout the world, i.e. the Rothschilds. And the reason I believe that, and please for a moment, think for yourself. The central banking system, or the international banking cartel, if you will, has been pushing for years toward a cashless society. We began many, many years ago with something called check guarantee cards, because every time you'd go to the grocery store, you'd go to the parts store or the hardware store or wherever you went, you whipped out a check. Look, I remember back in the late 50s, early 60s, credit cards weren't rampant. My God, you know, my family was just average, middle-income, hard-working folks. My mom had a part-time job as a driver for a boys' camp. It was owned by a guy named Bucky, whose last name escapes me, but the guy had been a Notre Dame football hero back in the 1930s or 40s, I guess. And my stepdad worked for a company called Hayes Paving out of Northbrook, Illinois. Now, they specialize predominantly in driveways, you know, blacktop, smaller shopping centers. Frank ran the roller, but he sure brought some good Mexican food home. Of course, they called themselves Puerto Ricans because it was more acceptable than being a Mexican at that time. This is late 50s, early 60s. We had a 16-foot Thompson boat, all wood, 35-horsepower outboard Johnson motor. When the weather was right, we'd be out on the lake, either Lake Michigan, although most of the time it was the chain of lakes, Fox Lake, etc., Round Lake. Probably hit the Mississippi River 3-4 times a year. I'll tell you, when we first started going to the Mississippi, there were very few private boats that were out there boating and camping. And we were doing it. And we did it in the rain, and we did it in cold weather, hot weather. Go through a couple of the locks. We'd head on over to Iowa, up to Wisconsin. It was amazing. You know what? We owned that boat free and clear. Frank had a 63 Pontiac station wagon. Might have been a, I don't think it was a Catalina, but it was like a Catalina, but in a station wagon form. Gray, nice vehicle. Had the back seat, you know, the far back seat. Now, most of the time we had the back of the station wagon loaded with our gear, but other times my sister and I could sit back there with the seat facing backwards, looking out the back window. Wanted to see where we'd come from. We had no payments on that car. Mortgage payments on the house were 200 and some bucks a month. A three-bedroom house, one bathroom, all wood floors, had a crawl space, real nice kitchen, huge yard. I know because I used to have to mow that sucker. I mean, a good-sized yard. Oh, we didn't have no riding lawnmowers. Oh, no, it was a push mower, not even a power mower. It was a push mower. Little uphill angle on the backyard. Little downhill angle on the front yard. My mother and I, before she married Frank. Now, Frank was actually my father's uncle. They'd been, you know, they were all within 2-3 years of one another. And my uncle and my father, my mother, as youth, used to just hang all the time. Always together doing stuff. Well, Mom and Dad got divorced in, you know, about 7. And some years later, 1961, my mother married my uncle. All right, so no big deal. But the point is, you could survive. Oh, sure, there were economic issues. You had inflation going, but nothing like we've got today. My mother paid $22,500 for that house. $22,500. Now, you could have spent about $2,500 more. Maybe it was a little bit, but $5,000 more, you could have had that same house with a basement underneath it. Oh, yeah. Man, you were styling if you had that basement. My mother eventually owned one of those homes in that same neighborhood with a basement. And when she finally sold it many years ago to move down to Texas to be near my two brothers, she sold it for over $250,000. That's not the value of the home going up. Oh, to some minor degree. Of course it was. That was inflation. We had no credit cards. Paid cash for the gas. Little by little, credit cards, diners clubs started to creep in. Maybe a couple other smaller ones. American Express, you had to be fairly highfalutin to be able to get those. As you begin to build up on those credit cards, the debt levels start going up. And for many Americans, Mom, who was always a stay-at-home mom raising the kids, not just my mother, but that was typical back then, had to get a part-time job to hopefully try to help make ends meet to make sure the credit card debt was paid down. That was the beginning. Mom goes out and gets a job, and she's able to prove her worth to the boss. The boss says, you know, I like the way you work, Joan. I'd like to offer you a full-time job. I'm going to move you up to the front office. And you'll be interacting with customers and blah, 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 this, that, and the other thing. So the mothers began to bite into the whole ERA mess long before anybody even knew the terminology ERA. All of a sudden, I can be a superwoman. I no longer have to be there to mop floors all day and wash the clothes. I'm going to get me a full-time job because now I got somebody who figures I'm worth more than I've been worth, and I'm going to get paid a nice sum of money. But I got to have new clothes. Of course, my car is a wee bit wore down, so I better replace the car. Well, now you're getting even further in the hole to do what? So you can work full-time, make the money. Eventually, the kids start coming home, and they're watching Amos and Andy. No parents around. Three Stooges. Years later, of course, that turned into MTV. And now we've got nothing but crybabies in this country. So we look at all of that, and then finally the 70s and the 80s and the 90s come around. And by this late 80s and the 90s, they come up with these little things called check guarantee cards. So you go into your grocery store, you write a check, and you know, they normally get your ID, write your license plate number down, but the banks have got a little bit of a scam going. Let's get them a check guarantee card. It'll make the merchants feel more comfortable that we guarantee we will honor that check whether the customer's got money or not. Except every one of those check guarantee cards had a little MasterCard or a little Visa sign on it. And the minute I saw it, I knew I could smell the rat. And so could you. I'm pretty sure check guarantee cards turned into something called debit cards. So now you're used to cranking that card out. Yeah. And because, of course, you've never had a problem using that debit card because you can't use it unless there's money in the account to use it, all of a sudden you start getting credit card offerings six ways to Sunday, left and right, upside down. And guess what? We as Americans are in trouble. Well, it's no different with the government. And all of this has been the pathway to the cashless society. And so I have believed for a very long period of time. And look, I've been on the air for, what, 22 years? John's been on for 23, 24. And all these years we've been talking about the coming cashless society, and nobody would believe us. Oh, some did. Some began buying gold and silver from us back in the 90s. Some of you were buying gold when it was at its low at $250 an ounce. When I say it's low, we're talking about, you know, some years ago, 2000, 2001. Gold was down to $250 an ounce. And people bought it. A lot of y'all are still sitting on it. Well, now we start looking at this next step of things, this little thing called Bitcoin or cryptocurrencies, if you want to look at it across the board. A lot of pro and con. We've talked about it the last few weeks. Hugo Salinas Price, we shared with you his commentary just about an hour ago. But now we're dealing with the Reichsbank or Riksbank. That's Sweden's central bank. They're taking a very serious look at Bitcoin because cash use has plummeted. The amount of currency in circulation has dwindled in Sweden. And central banks are beginning to look to cryptocurrencies as government-backed money. Well, that's a stupid term anyway. The governments don't back the money. Oh, on paper they do. The full faith and credit, you know, forget it. So in Sweden, the number of banknotes and coins in circulation has fallen to its lowest level in three decades. And the Riksbank estimates that cash transactions made up only 15% of all retail transactions last year. That number is down from 40% in 2010, thanks in large part to massively popular mobile payment services. You can pay for your stuff on your cell phone now. This now leaves the bank wondering if a technology similar to that of Bitcoin could be implemented in Sweden. Technology Review reports that Riksbank isn't the only central bank taking a serious look at blockchain but it's the technology that makes Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies run. These systems are also called distributed ledgers, and they rely on networks of computers rather than a central authority like a bank to verify and record transactions on a shared, virtually incorruptible database. Oh, boy, have we heard those words before? Incorruptible database. You heard us talk last week about, I was going to say Equifax, the credit reporting service. Oh, yeah, they had an incorruptible database. Sure, yeah. Government bankers across the world believe that these kind of forms of money have the potential to replace cash and make other payment systems more efficient. So Riksbank is investigating not only distributed ledger technology, which it describes as unproven, yet progressing incredibly rapidly, but also traditional centralized accounting methods for its eKrona, K-R-O-N-A, project. Many central banks are looking into this type of currency, but Sweden appears to be at the forefront of the movement. And according to Rod Garrett, who's an economics pro at a professor at the University of California, Santa Barbara, a cryptocurrency that is available to all consumers opens up a whole host of issues, would pose new challenges for makers of monetary policy. No, I don't think so. I don't think so at all. I think this is exactly what the international banking community has been working towards for a long, long time. Remember, you can't just one day pull the rug out from underneath the U.S. dollar and say, voila, here's cryptocurrency, boys and girls, because they won't accept it. But like the frog in the pot of cold water, and you turn up the heat and turn up the heat and turn up the heat, pretty soon the frog's used to it. Frog thinks he's in a sauna. And one day he's cooked. Garrett says, first there's the question of who exactly should verify these transactions and maintain the distributed ledger. And even if that is solved, the new system would be, in a sense, too streamlined, making it easier for bank runs to occur in a moment of crisis or panic. And in most current financial systems, large-scale withdrawals of funds are naturally slowed by the time it takes for a central bank to produce the paper money people are demanding. But if the currency is purely digital, no such breaks exist. A panicked citizenry could empty their accounts almost instantly, leaving an entire country's banking system all but penniless. But a new journal article published by the Bank of International Settlements, a kind of central bank for central banks, suggests a more straightforward approach than trying to use cryptocurrency to replace cash. In an article by Garrett and Morton Beck, a researcher at the BIS draws an important distinction between a retail cryptocurrency like Fedcoin and a wholesale one that would only be used by banks. Oh, you think it ends here? Oh, no. China's central bank has also begun testing of a digital currency. Speeches and research papers from officials at the People's Bank of China show that the bank's strategy is to introduce the digital currency alongside of China's renminbi. But there's currently no timetable for this, and the bank seems to be proceeding cautiously. But the main issue for governments is that they are losing their grip and control on currency. Sweden's dwindling cash usage is increasing reliance on mobile payment systems, risks marginalizing people who do not use them or cannot access them. And those systems are also run by private companies, which means that commercial forces rather than government policies could end up determining how effectively the financial system serves people in the economy. But I would not count on that. Not to save your soul, I would not count on that. I am absolutely convinced that this is all part of the game to take us cashless. As cell phones became smartphones, you can take little pictures, you can order stuff in your telephone and send them a picture of an app, and bang, your account's already charged. And when I sit there going for coffee in the morning with my granddaughter, who's having her breakfast, it's too early for me to eat. And I watch these fat, slovenly pigs come in the store and order their sugar-on-sugar drinks. Pretty scary stuff, isn't it? Is Bitcoin a bubble? It's going to burst? According to one of the largest hedge fund managers, Bitcoin is a bubble. However, he says gold is money. Gold, he says, is a better store of value. This is from Ray Dalio of the $160 billion Bridgewater. Dead air. I was just informed we lost me at Bridgewater. Well, that's good, because that's not very far back. Dropped me for maybe 40 seconds. Ray Dalio, gold is a better store of value. And he says Bitcoin has climbed over 300% this year on speculation and expectation it'll continue to climb. And it may. But that's the herd mentality. Because Bitcoin is not a valid currency due to its volatility and lack of spending ability. But as we mentioned just about the time we got cut off, or shortly after getting cut off, that lack of spending ability, according to what I'm hearing in the conversation I had with my client a couple of weeks ago, seems to be disappearing, because it looks like some of these cryptocurrencies, and specifically Bitcoin, can now be utilized through the use of a MasterCard. Jamie Dimon, CEO of J.P. Morgan, the Pirate Chase, says Bitcoin is worse than tulip bulbs. But crypto buyers need to be concerned with government regulations, and I believe they are coming. Oh, the tax man standing in line. He wants to know if you're trying to beat the band, baby. Because I guarantee you something. They're going to tax you. You bought those things at $75 a piece, and you're now able to sell them for $3,000 and $4,000 and $5,000 and maybe eventually $10,000 or more. Guess what's going to happen? The tax man's going to be there with his hand out. And if you got nothing to put into it, you're going to lose it all. A month ago, Robert Shiller said that Bitcoin was the best example of bubble. Now, last week, it didn't do so good. It took a hit. following an announcement by the Chinese authorities to shut down exchanges, but it's begun to recover already. It's had a strong performance all year. And a lot of so-called experienced investors and economists are calling out for what it seems to be a bubble. But that just seems to be a word anymore, isn't it? Dalio says that it's not an effective store of wealth because it has volatility to it, unlike gold. Bitcoin's a highly speculative market. Bitcoin is a bubble. And he stated these things on an interview with CNBC. That's a problem that may well continue, may prevent it becoming a store of value. I don't think it ever had the intent of being a store of value. I think if you're taking people down the pathway to a cashless society, they don't care. It's the way to control we the people. People adapt to the circumstances they've experienced and are then surprised when the picture or the future is different than the past. In other words, most people are inclined to assume that the circumstances they have recently encountered will persist, which leads them to change what they're doing to be consistent with that recently experienced environment. Get greedy, baby. Buy Bitcoin. Well, I'm not going to tell you not to do it. There's some spooky stuff going out there. There's a lot of up-and-comers in the cryptocurrency field. And maybe you've got a chance of doing just as well. You know, when asked if Bitcoin's in a bubble, evangelists are offended you could ask such a thing. But following Professor Shiller's comments about Bitcoin's bubbliness, it was noted in an article, which was about as far from economic argument for something not being in a bubble as you could get. The statement was, looking at a chart of the growth of sectors that experienced bubbles since 1990, there is a very familiar pattern. And yet Bitcoin skyrockets off and away from the chart, showing no correlation with the tech bubble, the home builders bubble, or the biotech bubble. This could be one of the biggest cons that we've ever seen. Or it could be absolutely brilliant, my friends. But keep in mind, it is not a currency in the way we think of currencies. Because there's two things required for a currency. The first thing is you can transact in it, a medium of exchange. The second thing is it is a true store of value. Bitcoin today, you can't spend it real easily. We take these criteria. We define a bubble based on those criteria. Bitcoin is a bubble. It's a shame. It could be a currency. It could work conceptually, but the amount of speculation that's going on and the lack of transaction. Stick around. Back with more. When I get there, I'm learning to fly around the clouds.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
They're listening. Jeff Bennett here, sitting in for John for the first hour, and doing what we got to do here. I want you to understand some things. I, as a general rule, don't take callers. It's not that I'm afraid to talk with them. I'm not afraid to engage in conversation. I do this all day long, dealing with clients and other people who call for various different reasons. It's called time. We have breaks, which we do on this network every hour. As a general rule, I lose probably 7-8 minutes of broadcast time, which means out of 2 hours, I lose 16, 17 minutes, whatever the case may happen to be. And all of that time is very, very important. I come to the microphone ready to work. I'm not trying to inflict my personal values on you, my personal beliefs, although many of the things that I share with you obviously come from many years' personal experience in dealing in the economic world, specifically that relating to all things gold, silver, platinum. Palladium has now entered the foray in an affordable level for many. I'm shocked that all these years now we've been fighting, watching platinum stay about $300 below that of gold. That's shocking to me. I've never seen platinum have that kind of a spread except over the last 2 or 3 years. I give you food for thought. That's why I've taken the time to discuss this whole Bitcoin scenario as deeply as I have. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Right now, it seems to be good. It's got to spook somebody out who's sitting on $80,000, $90,000 worth of value. And I know some people that are sitting on that much, or they were several weeks ago, to all of a sudden wake up one day and find out this dropped by a third. They get scared. Is it going to continue its downward trend? Oh, no, it'll be back. It'll be back. And maybe it will. Someday it won't come back. Because believe me, if the international banking cartel makes a decision that this is the perfect cashless society instrument to utilize, my friends, then guess what? They're going to set the value. You're not going to get to set the value, and you can forget a $5,000 per Bitcoin value, or $10,000, or $1 million. It's going to be what they establish it to be, and then it just becomes a digital fiat currency. Just a tiny bit more on this subject, we're going to move on. I had mentioned earlier my concern with the IRS. Because they have undergone a recent attempt to unmask cryptocurrency users when they sued Coinbase and demanded the client transaction records. Jim Rickards, who I don't have a lot of respect for, he's another one of these guys that tells you whatever you want to hear in order to get you to buy his newsletter, has every indication that governments, regulators, tax authorities, and the global elite are moving in on cryptocurrencies, and therefore the future of Bitcoin may be one in which Big Brother controls what's called the blockchain and decides when and how you can buy or sell anything and everything. But I agree with that statement. You see, it's worth mentioning that if a government is able to get a hold of client records legally, then it stands to reason that cyber hackers can also get their hands on them. And if prying eyes want to have your records, then it stands to reason that they may also be able to track your Bitcoin. And yet Dalio tells us gold will be there in times of need. Who knows about Bitcoin? Last month, he said clients should move 5 to 10% of their capital into gold as a hedge, because of the two biggest risk events that were unfolding at that time, North Korea and then the looming debt ceiling crisis. Neither risk has disappeared over the last month. Maybe they've been delayed somewhat, but only at a cost of them being exacerbated further. At the time Dalio was speaking, they were the two most imminent threats to financial and political stability. But in the background, of course, there's all the other disasters in waiting. Washington's inability to get a damn thing done. Central banks' monetary policies for the last decade. And, of course, now the Fed admitting that they don't really understand what inflation is. And apparently it's getting just a little bit away from them. Oh, let's not forget the most bubbly of stock markets. All these things should be a concern. And so we have no idea how the next few days, the months, or even the years are going to play out. We're not going to take a punt like the Bitcoin traders and assume everything is going to stay as it is. We're realists. We know that the current status quo just is not sustainable. And we also know the current performance of Bitcoin is also unsustainable if it expects to be taken seriously as a currency or a store of value. For now, this seems to be down a long and volatile road. Given all the unknowns, we know it's important to diversify. We should anchor our savings in this ever uncertain and volatile environment. To me, gold is the answer. A certain amount of silver as well. There's an old saying in our industry. You buy gold to hold. You buy silver to sell. In other words, you buy silver because the anticipation is you actually do have the ability to make very good money, a good profit with silver, a far superior profit than you will ever make with gold. Gold is eternal. Very easy to hand it down from generation to generation. And it will hold its buying power. It will hold its value. Silver is something that will make you money, that may allow you to buy more gold. Because remember, it's far more transportable than silver. Not everybody out there is sitting here with a big Ford Expedition or a Chevy Suburban 4x4 jacked up an extra 18 inches into the air where they can, you know, get over the terrain and the mountains and the rivers, et cetera, and be able to haul the silver. You got to be concerned with food, medical supplies, medicine, clothing, tools, other things that will allow you to survive in the worst of conditions. A comment left on this article from King of Rupert's Land regarding a dollar in 1950. All of this depends upon it was the German Thaler, T-A-H-L-E-R, which is where the word dollar comes from, the Spanish silver dollar, the 1804 dollar, gold dollar coin, trade dollar, Morgan dollar piece, quarters and dimes of the day, even a dollar on a deposit at a bank at competitive compound interest. The paper stuff clearly states legal tender for all debts, public and private. It makes no other claim. It's only paper. As soon as you're handed one, you should immediately pay a bill or taxes with it. The guy says, my grandfather gave me Kennedy half dollars. I still have them. It's when they took the silver out of that thing that things got completely phony and the dollar became a fraud. That's why I own gold. It's the only reason I own gold. I want the security factor. I know that no matter what happens in the years to come, I'm holding something in my hand that's going to put something on my table. Allow me to pay taxes, although when it gets that bad, I hope I don't even own any real estate. If I had my druthers, I'd just sell this place for what I can get. I'd pack it up and I would get out of here. I might consider heading to Tennessee. What I do on the air, I can do from Ted Kaczynski's cabin up in Utah. So long as I could get service. Think about that. My wife, she could sit home and not work. I'd hit Tennessee, buy a nice small place, some acreage, spend the rest of my life doing some planting and sowing and reaping. Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to go back there and open up another corner church. There's too many of them back there now. But gold's portable. I can haul hundreds of thousands of dollars of gold in a briefcase heading across country. I don't take it through the airport because the TSA might decide that you're up to something funny. I'd be a happy camper. So I got to put up some mild winters, maybe on the edge of tornadoes or whatever. Don't much care anymore. The Lord's going to provide what he's going to provide, and it's all that comes down to it. Hugo Salinas Price, once again, states that for the first time since August of 1971, 46 years ago, gold will once again form part of commercial international transactions. I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about that issue, but there's some things happening around the world. I don't care what gold does from day to day. Too many of you get caught up in that nonsense.
Oh, my God, gold dropped today.
One guy comes up, gold prices are going to reach $1,400 before the end of the year. I don't care if they do or not. Yeah, but them tensions with U.S. and North Korea. They lifted prices for the yellow metal to the highest settlement in more than a week. A week? You're concerned about what gold's going to do in a week or a day or an hour? Then you don't get it. You don't understand the reason for owning it. I've shared the story with my grandfather, born in 1903. '03, they called it back then. By the time the Depression came around, he was an up-and-coming designer and architect. Had him some gold pieces, some $20 gold pieces, a few tens. Yeah. Well, by the way, do you know gold was up 13% this year so far? It's not a bad return. A hell of a lot on Wall Street, can't say that. Mark O'Byrne says that backdrop for gold today is as bullish as it's been in a long time. He comes out of Dublin, Ireland, don't you know? Roosevelt gets elected president. In fact, that's funny. I saw a headline this morning. Democrats in the worst condition they've been in since 1929. That scared the hell out of me when I read that headline. The Democrats were in terrible shape in 1929. 1932, they're running Franklin Delano Roosevelt for the presidency, and he wins. And within a matter of weeks, he puts the kibosh on gold. Got to turn it in. Yes, sir. If you don't do it, subject to a $10,000 fine, maybe up to 10 years in prison, boy. Except that only 20-25% of the people that were holding gold, and they didn't know who it was. Walk into your local bank, deposit. Hey, here's I got me a $60 to $63 check this week. Give me $3 back. Put 40 of it in the bank. And give me a $20 gold piece. Or a $20 bill. It was your choice. You could get them. Nobody kept track of who was doing that. Of course, they didn't have branches every three blocks. Roosevelt puts the gold grab out. People don't turn it in. In 1960, my grandfather showed me the gold he'd been sitting on for damn near 30 years. He never turned it in. And he wasn't the only one. And it's portable. You can move with it. And you're always going to find somebody to accept gold at the other end of the deal. At which time you turn it into whatever the local form of cash is, and you go on about buying a vehicle or getting a new tractor or whatever it is you're going to do. I don't care what gold is like from day to day. It's what it will put on my table, what it will provide me in the way of security or housing, a roof over my head. That's why you look at it. It is the ultimate umbrella, the ultimate insurance policy. Now, having said that, I haven't even looked at markets the whole time we've been on there. I don't know what the stock market did today. I don't really care. Some of you do. To me, it becomes a tendency of us to give that information out just to fill up information. Yeah, sure. I can go ahead and pull it up. And let me do it. It just doesn't take much for me to pull it up. I got to go close this, open this, click on this. And I'll have stock market reports for you. It's that miraculous. Dow Jones Industrial down another 11, almost 12 points today to close at 22,284. The Dow's down over 100 points since we were together last Thursday. That's nothing in the scheme of things. S&P 500 down less than a quarter of a point to close at 24,96. The NASDAQ up 9.57. A couple weeks ago, the NASDAQ was over 6,500. Didn't stay there long. It's 6,380 right now. Oil up 16 cents. Woo-wee, doggy. Yes, siree. Oil's now up to $52 a barrel. It was like 44 just a few weeks ago. Of course, then them hurricanes hit. Yes, sir, they did. Oh, why did I do that? I grossly overpriced that. Grossly overpriced it. Hang on a second. That's a lot better. Oh, yeah, that's a huge difference. Huge difference. Just hang on a quick second. 1, 0, 3, 9, 2, 5. Bingo. We go here. 3:15. Oops. Okay, we go to 3:15. I had some figures run for you, and I realized they overpriced gold by $100 an ounce. How in the world did I do that? Must have been wishful thinking. So the key is gold. To get some in your pocket. I don't know what your economic situation is. If you're like an awful lot of people out there, you're not sitting as well as you were 5 years ago. You're not as liquid as you were 5 years ago. Most aren't. They're just not. Hang on just a quick sec. Almost done here. Oh, yeah, I like that a lot better. Holy my God, that's almost $1,000 less. That's a lot of money. Much better. Much, much better. Tell you what we're going to do. I got a quick gold offering for you. And if you have an interest, there are several things I want you to do. I'm president and CEO of a company called Kettle Marine Limited. Now, you can find out more about us by going to our website, KettleMorainePreciousMetals.com. Kettle is spelled just like a pot and a pan and a kettle, K-E-T-T-L-E. Moraine is spelled M-O-R-A-I-N, as in Nancy, E as in Edward. No spaces between the words. Kettle Marine Precious Metals. I've still got some work I'm doing on behalf of RBN. We are the official precious metals representative for RBN. No, this is not an advertisement for Kettle Marine, per se. Okay? There's been some other companies since I left here a little over 3 years ago, or almost 3 years ago, that were advertising on here, but Republic Broadcasting didn't get a dime out of it. That's not the agreement that John Stattmiller and I have. Okay? That kind of game I will not play. There's reasons we're running RBN's business through Kettle Marine. I have access to 6 suppliers. RBN has access to 1. That opens up a whole spectrum. You know what I love in gold? I love fractional pieces. I love quarter-ounce pieces of gold. Absolutely love them. It's the majority of what I own. I don't want them too small because the price gets too outrageously expensive. I don't necessarily want a bunch of 1-ounce pieces because how do I get change for them if I need a brake job? A little bit of work on the tranny. Maybe you need to get my AC people out here to do some work. I'm going to give them a $1,300, $1,400 coin when I need, you know, my guy would take gold. Maybe I need $500 for the work. How's he going to give me change? Well, I'll put it credit so next time you need. No, we don't do that. One of my favorite coins. And yeah, I can get you Eagles. I can do any of that stuff. And I'll always run comps for you. I'll work on a one-on-one basis. You can go to KettleMarinePreciousMetals.com. You scroll down on the right, there's an area that says contact us. Our phone number is there. 623-327-1778. Forget that other number we had from RBN. It was causing more grief than anything. 95% of the calls I were getting on it were sales calls, because that phone number instantly hit a list. No, somebody trying to sell me. The other thing you've got is my email address. If what I'm about to share with you, if you have any remote interest whatsoever, contact me. I can't lock anything else in now. It's too late. All my suppliers close now within about 7 minutes. I love British sovereigns. Amongst the first gold pieces I began to buy back in 1960 were British sovereigns. They're recognized all over the world. There is not a nation in the world that does not recognize British sovereigns. When we sent our first group of troops over to Iraq under Daddy Bush, part of their survival kit included predominantly pilots and their crews. A selection of British sovereigns with a note in their language. If you should find or help or capture or pick up this gentleman as a, you know, this American soldier as a wounded individual, or if he's been shot down or whatever, accept this as payment to care for him and nurture him, et cetera, and get him back to whomever. British sovereigns have been part of the U.S. Air Force's survival packet for years, and still are. There's not a corner of the world. You remember the old saying, the sun never sets on the British Empire? Because there was never a time of the heyday of the British Empire. There was not one region of the world you couldn't go. The sun was not shining over a so-called British protectorate or a British territory. The reverse of that coin is pretty much the same way it's been for well over 100 years. George the Dragon Slayer, in most instances, once in a while there'll be a special issue that may have something else on it. I can get old sovereigns, but not right now. They're not readily available. The old King and Queen Victorias and King Georges, etc. Right now, I've got brand new Queen Elizabeths. I don't like the old broad either, but I don't care. It's not her that I care about. It's the content of what I'm holding in my hand. Smaller quantities I can do, but I've got a couple of quick packages for you. All right? A couple of quick packages here for you. I can get you a full roll of newly minted. That means there's no wear and tear. There's been no division, no breakdown of the gold content, no, because they haven't been spent, circulated, etc., etc., etc. I can get you a full package of 40. 40 quarter-ounce British sovereigns, $13,200. Delivered. Delivered. If that's a little bit heavy for your budget, let's bite off a half of that, a 20, a roll of 20. $6,700, delivered. Smallest package I can do is 10. I'll have to negotiate a price on a smaller order like that. So, if you have any remote interest in this and you want to begin moving forward, I'll instruct you as to payment methods. You can either do a bank wire. Well, I don't like bank wires because it costs you money, it costs me money, and by the time you're done, hey, it costs RBN money, and the only ones that are making money are the darn banks with their wiring fees. I'll take your personal check via priority or overnight mail. If you got a Chase Bank nearby, I'll give you the instructions. You can deposit directly into my account. You're notified every step along the way. When I receive your payment, it clears. No, we're not talking 10 days to 2 weeks clearing time on your check, okay? You can call me tonight, 602-799-8214. You may get my voicemail. The email probably would be the fastest way. I generally am able to respond more quickly. Make sure I've got your name and a phone number. I will be glad to call you. This has been a fun 2 hours. It's been a trying 2 hours. I hope we've been able to help you, guide you, give you some things to think about. Our prayers go out to John. Let's hope he makes it back strong and ready to go tomorrow. Otherwise, Lord willing, I'll see you on Thursday. Without apology, I am Jeffrey Bennett.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.